Some of you really were smiling. I watched a couple of you looked, and someone looked at, I was watching a wife look at a husband and said, "You're amazing." And boy, he got a bright smile. Isn't that great? See what you can do? Our words are very powerful, aren't they? Good, because that's what we're going to talk about is our words. And look with me to James chapter 3. As we continue to look at our series, Mighty in His Power, our words are powerful. We're going to talk about something that is a passion for me and something that I am highly committed to is helping you and I learn to speak well and to communicate appropriately in language. And James addresses something that's so absolutely powerful. James chapter 3, I'd like to read through the first 12 verses there if you'll follow along. And again, we don't have slides, but you'll appreciate you opening up your Bible or turn that device on. And once again, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, which is the authorized version for Abundant Life Foursquare Church. But you can use any version you want as long as it's a Bible. Can you say amen to that? So follow along. Starting at verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Let me just tell you, that's a great way to open up a message when it talks about the person who is sharing the message. That's directed to me. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Oh, they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison." That word's kind of strong, isn't it? "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who've been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Wow, strong word, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you as we prepare to study and receive this word and understand it. And I pray, God, for understanding. I pray, Lord, for our ability to take this in and integrate it, apply it, learn. Lord, this is such an important passage for us in the world we live in today. I pray that you would help us to receive what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. I would imagine many of us have heard the statement, it's one of those things you learn very early on, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me," or "words will never hurt me." Many of you probably heard that statement, almost like a nursery rhyme statement. Do you know where that comes from? I bet you don't. Well, I looked it up for you. And I thought it was interesting because we know that's not true because words, in fact, will. But it was interesting that this originally came out in 1862. And there's actually two verses to it. "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. True courage consists in doing what is right despite the jeers and sneers of our companions." Written in 1862, from the Christian Recorder, which was a publication of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. If you look at the history of it, it's interesting because it was written and it was part of an article that was addressing the situation of this time where there were a lot of really ugly things going on, still goes on today, but a lot of specific things against the black community. And here, being addressed by a predominantly black magazine, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, their publication. And this was written to try to encourage their readers to handle in a Christian manner all the things that were coming against them. I got to tell you, these are things that you don't forget, the words that are spoken, things that are done in such a way. I don't know about you, but I can. There are just some things that happen, especially when you grow up, you just don't forget. Because words are unbelievably powerful, and they stay with you. Even though we might discipline our thoughts to not allow them to affect us, and thank God for the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about, but the power of words can stay with you for literally decades. And I've talked with people who are still dealing with the words spoken 40 and 50 years earlier. I still remember the first time I dealt with something as a kid. I was coming home from school and in a predominantly Protestant community. My family had moved at this point, and I was going home, and for the first time as I was walking home from school, I was hearing the comments that were being flung towards me because of my Jewish background, and words that I never heard before. For the first time, I heard the words being spoken, "you kite," or "you Christ killer," and on and on. I won't repeat everything that was being said. And here were a group of boys throwing rocks at me, chasing me home. And I remember running home and, you know, to my mom and going, "So, Mom, I'm, man, what happened?" And I had to ask her, "So what exactly does that mean?" I had not heard those things up until that point in time. And then my mom shared with me that these were not nice things. And I've never forgotten that. You know, that was, and I remember thinking to myself, not totally getting it, because I was only like, 7 years old or something. And when I was 7, I was just a real shrimp. I didn't grow up till I got into junior high. But I just still remember just being so scared. Matter of fact, it scared me enough that my family transferred me out of that elementary school to another one because of what was going on within that school, and I wouldn't go back because there was a group of boys who were out to make life difficult for no other reason than, can you go back to the slide, please? For no other reason than the statement of Lee's words, because Lee's words were doing great harm. The fact is, this is something that we want to try to understand, but words can do damage that will last, and our responsibility is to, you know, learn how to deal with it through the Lord. And when we think about the words that come at us, you know, the fact is that how we talk, who we talk to, when we talk, the tone of our voice, our speech patterns, how you look, your nonverbal, all of this has to do with words. Often we think of words as being simply, just go to the next slide, simply as verbal, but our words are nonverbal, our words are written, our words are very visual today. We understand words verbal, but we have to understand words nonverbal. Sometimes the most powerful words you speak is in your face. Now, it would be interesting to have some of you see yourself when you're angry and frustrated and going at it with somebody else. What I'd like to do is hold up a mirror so you can see what you look like and see how you're communicating, because there are words being communicated that are unbelievably powerful that are coming right from your face. Your body language is communicating words. You have no idea. Probably, because how many of you hold up a mirror to yourself and look to see what you look like when you are really upset? You would be surprised how very powerful you are. over the years, as I've helped some different types of situations and people, every now and then I have tried to encourage people to see themselves, and they don't believe what I'm sharing with them, and so I will videotape them. And I have literally hundreds of hours of videotapes of people, couples who are fighting in front of the camera, having a real argument. I can remember how often, how many times I have said, "You don't realize what's going on." And I've had people say to me, "That's not me." And then I will play the video for them. And so I will go ahead, and I love these. I usually use a 6-foot TV set in HD. So they can see the look that's coming from them. And I've had the statement, and here's what's said: "That's not me." And I'll say, "But that is you." "No, that's not me. Let me play it again for you." And those have become powerful moments in human beings' lives, because you don't realize how very strong your communication is coming from you non-verbally. We live in a world that's changing, and we recognize how powerful visual is. Just the other day, I bought something that required assembly. And so I got the instructions, and I opened it up, and there wasn't a word in there, a written word. It was all pictures. Can you say amen to that? 32 pictures for 32 steps to assemble this. I thought, man, I can do this. There's a picture here. You remember when you used to buy stuff and you would assemble it and you'd get 32 pages of a detailed instruction? How many of you wish you were getting that, right? All of a sudden, now you're looking at pictures. It's interesting that our world recognizes the power of visuals to such an extent. Instructions now no longer have, or very few, written words. Now you get pictures. James is telling us that these are powerful statements, and these are things that are affecting our lives. And he's saying we need to get this. We need to mature in this, because there really isn't a justifiable reason for us to continue acting this way. I mean, one of the biggest offenses continues to be Facebook. Here is a tool and a mechanism that could be used for something that's good, but it's becoming unbelievably dangerous. Recent studies are coming out, and I thought it was interesting, from a medical journal, from the Journal of Pediatricians. Here's what they discovered. This was a journal article, not just a magazine article. Headline on the journal: "Too much Facebook isn't good for you." Can you say amen to that? We have pediatricians now warning us, warning our children, that too much Facebook is dangerous. And they had all kinds of evidence to share that. Matter of fact, they've developed now, and they're recognizing, especially among teenagers, a new type of depression called Facebook depression, a new mental health issue. But it's real. And here's what they're discovering. Matter of fact, in the University of Utah, they did a study on Facebook depression. And what they discovered is that when you post something at Facebook, your emotional well-being is, for many of us, determined based on how many likes you get. You know that little thing where you pick like? And here's what they discovered. If you get 30 or more likes of something you post, you feel good. If you get less than 30 but more than 5, you're okay. But if you get less than 5, you're depressed. And they discovered a new obsessive-compulsive behavior: Facebook. Because here they discovered is that people who do a lot of Facebook will check their Facebook when they post something over a dozen different times in an hour to see how many likes they're getting. So you want to play games with somebody? Don't press like. Because it feels like, I mean, you're posting about your life. where you're eating, where you're going, what you're doing, all kinds of information that we really don't need, but you're posting this, and if no one likes what you're doing, where you're going, or what you're eating, that's personal. Or you're venting on Facebook and no one likes what you just said. That's personal. And the result is it's now affecting us. How crazy is that, that that's affecting us? And so James is addressing the issue of our words and our language, verbal, nonverbal, written, and visual. My brethren, it says in verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Basically, what that's saying, he's launching into something that's very important, and he's reminding us that a rabbi who is a teacher is a communicator, and he's saying, listen, if you're going to do this, and remember, we've talked about it, a rabbi is like an NFL star today. Less than 1% of those in the population of the time would attain that level, but those that did, the warning is you need to be very careful about what you say, how you say it, what you teach, and the way you teach it. Because he's saying, and what's interesting, he's saying it's not about, and you would think, well, it's about the accuracy of the information. Now, yes, it is about the accuracy, but more what he's saying is you shall receive a stricter judgment. Not on the accuracy of the information, but what he's saying, you will receive a stricter judgment based on your character, morality, and ethics, your spiritual, emotional, relational maturity. Because here's what James is saying, you know what? Those things are more important than your cognitive capacity. See, we get things a little bit twisted around. We think somehow if we know a lot of stuff, it's okay. Now, I'm not saying knowing a lot of stuff isn't okay. That's fine. But we have forgotten that character, morality, and ethics are more important. Because if what you're saying doesn't match your character and your morality and your ethics, and here's what God's saying, you will receive a stricter judgment. You can't say something and then do something different and think you're getting away with it. Can you say amen to that? That's a dangerous amen. Once again, James is saying our words are very important. And it is critical, church. Can I just add this really quick? That we are very careful who we let, who we give positions of authority to in our lives. Because I got to tell you something. Too often the church has not filtered carefully those who get into those positions. See, we make this crazy mistake and we let personalities, we let talent, we let those kinds of things supersede the maturity and the experience. And the result is people get into a place that does a lot of damage. And we need to be a little more careful about who it is that is teaching our children, who is it that is speaking into our lives, and measure it not by the personality or how they look, but in fact, based on character and morality and ethics. And how do you know those things? You got to get to know them. It takes time. It takes growth. It takes years, decades for these things to take place. So James tells us, starting in verse 2, be careful about your words. I mean, we're all going to stumble in many things, he says. We're all going to have problems, but you know what? You're going to stumble over your words more than anything else. That's what he means when he says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect. In other words, listen, words are easy to stumble over, not that anyone's perfect, but that you are a mature individual. And then he says, you need to put this bit in your mouth to bridle the mouth, just like a horse. He talks about, and we're going to see how that, because a horse's mouth, that they what? May obey us and turn the whole body. He talks about ships and the rudder and how, although there's a fierce wind, what is it that can direct the ship? A small rudder. And then he goes on and says how a little fire can start a huge forest ablaze. And we know about that just recently, right? Washington State, largest forest fire in history. And how did it start? With something very small that got out of control and burned literally thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. And once it happened, it was out of control. right? They were talking that aside from the fortunate of some of the weather, that thing would have burned well into November or December. And so we begin to see, and he talks about how all of this is connected to the tongue. So he's drawing a parallel. Bits, rudders, sparks, tongue, one and the same thing. He's connecting all of that so we would get an image of how important it is that our words are carefully chosen and how we communicate is important. They all are connected. Now you think about the horse. The horse, a bit in a horse's mouth. I know it's kind of hard. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a horse, and some of you are horse people. I spent a couple years on a horse ranch when I was in college. I was a wrangler. Phew. I love horses. I mean, I really enjoy horses. And I was good enough, I was bareback riding. And I'll never forget the one time I dropped the reins. You know, those two little small pieces of leather? And I'm bareback riding, and we were headed home. And when you're going home, your horse loves to go home. It's like, we're going home. Yeah, let's get going. And all of a sudden, the control was gone. And that horse felt the lack of control and said, oh, good, now I can run fast. And off he went. And I held on to the mane for dear life. Oh, I got close to Jesus at that time. I thought for sure I was going. But I got there. It wasn't a long way, but I got there, and it was scary. And I realized how much control I really had and didn't have because of a little tiny thing in that horse's mouth. I mean, you're talking about a powerful animal. Horses, I mean, these are cool. And when you think of the power and the muscle and the strength and two pieces of leather attached to a little bit of a piece of metal usually, and you can direct that body, it's absolutely cool. And James is saying, when the tongue is under control, it's beautiful. It's good. It's life. But when it's out of control, it's scary and dangerous, and you can get hurt. And then he goes on and says, if you don't get that, let me remind you about the fact that it's a rudder. And, you know, you look at and everyone knows a small rudder, man, huge ship. I mean, on an aircraft carrier, gigantic aircraft carrier, and they got these little wimpy little metal things, I mean, comparatively speaking, and those little rudders control the entire direction of where that ship is going. I mean, that's an amazing kind of thing that we know. And here, once again, James is saying, see that picture, how big the ship is, and a small rudder can direct it wherever it needs to go. And he's saying our tongues are the same way. You can have control over something large and powerful. And as small as it might seem, it controls something large and powerful. And so your tongue can control something large and powerful. It literally can speak life and death. I mean, how much bigger is that? And then he says, now if you're not getting that, let's talk about sparks and fires. Now, you got to realize back then, Israel, at the time that James wrote, had a lot more woods and forests than it does today. Today, we don't see a lot, although they are growing forests, and it's amazing what Israel's doing right now today, but we think of it mostly as desert. Well, back then, they had a lot more forests. They had timber. They had dry grass, and they knew fire. They knew the danger of fire. And of course, they didn't have the technology we have today. There was no fire department to call. There was nothing to depend upon. If a fire got kicked off in one of their forests where they didn't have a lot of extra wood, not a lot of resources, it was all going to be gone. And how many times had they watched someone light a fire, a spark flew, and down came their forest? And James says that's exactly what can happen with the tongue. It seems like a little something flies out of your mouth and it lands on a dry piece of ground and it sparks up, and guess what happens? It's out of control. because we see it happen, that when that fire starts kicking off, we watched it here in Washington State, it got so out of control, it just started burning, and people are running for their lives. People lost their lives because of how quick and powerful that fire was. And James is saying your tongue is the same thing. It's like a fire that just gets out of control, and it takes lives, it destroys plant life, it kills animals. Your tongue can spark off something, and he says literally, it says, sets on fire the course of nature. And what James is saying is literally, it changes life. It literally can adjust the path of life and direction of life. You can steer someone or something in a whole different direction because of what you say. The words that you speak to your children, how you speak to them, sets the course of their life. How you speak to each other sets the course of your marriage. How you speak to those at work sets the course of your department. Once again, the power of our words, verbal, nonverbal, the visual things that we present, James is saying you need to recognize how very strong and powerful and damaging and good it can be. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because the words have been spoken to you that are still ripped in your heart. How many of us still remember that conversation that just stabbed us in the heart? We still can see the look on his or her face. We still hear the words of rejection, the words of anger and hatred. And here's something I've learned with human beings. That doesn't go away. I was talking with a mother and a daughter. A daughter was a young adult, and mom flew off, very angry, and just kind of unloaded on her daughter. And they were coming in, seeing me and the daughter, and they were sharing this event. And I still remember the words of mom saying to her daughter, "You know, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to say what I did." And in our family, of course, we know that there's grace, right, dear, and you're going to be fine. And she was telling her about how she was going to be and all that. I still can see the look in the daughter's eyes. She looked at her mom and says, "Yes, Mom, I understand. There's grace." What I saw was, but I have an arterial bleed right now, and I hope you can see the blood pouring down my chest. Because Mom didn't. Mom somehow thought that all she had to do was say the words, "Well, I know there's grace, dear, and you're going to forgive me." Like that was going to make it all okay. And here this little girl was bleeding to death. It was my task to help them see what was really going on and the damage that had been reoccurring over and over and over again. That little girl's heart was scarred. And Mom was wondering why she's not talking to her like they used to. Why there wasn't an openness in the relationship. I'll tell you what, you get your heart stabbed enough, you get hit enough, eventually you'll get the message and you'll stop going there. And the thing that God wants us to awaken to is that your words are important. How you say it, the way you say it is affecting. And yes, there's grace. Yes, there's forgiveness. But don't use that as a band-aid to cover up the significant injury and damage that's occurred. We have a lot of walking wounded in our world and society today because of people who have decided it's somehow okay to vent and unload and just say whatever you want and the world will forgive you. That's garbage. I've seen it written in Facebook. "Oh, I'm sorry for venting. Please forgive me," and ignore the post. It's garbage. It was said. It's who you are. It revealed your heart. And someone got hurt. If anything that I see happen more often is the damage in marriages, families, and churches is the words that are spoken. It's not usually theology. It usually isn't some doctrinal concern. It's the way we speak to each other. It's the way that we react. And we do so with such an immaturity and in a way that is exactly in contradiction to what James chapter 3 is trying to teach us, that we are hurting each other unnecessarily. James is saying, because he recognized what's going on back then, we need to get this because we are setting fires. We are steering ships into the rocks. We are driving horses and running people down with the words that we speak and how we say it and what we do. It's not okay to vent. It's not okay to vomit on somebody. I mean, I know what it's like to have my kids vomit on me. It's gross. But it's my kids, right? I'm all right with that. It's when people who aren't my kids vomit on me. I'm not okay. And yet we do that so often to each other. I can almost hear the words that are coming at me. Steve, I just have to get this off my chest. I just need to unload on you. I just need to give you a piece of my mind. I don't want a piece of your mind. Keep it. You need all the mind you have. Don't sacrifice another piece. You don't have much left. And we don't realize how injurious those things are. The Word of God tells us it's poison. It will poison us. God says, listen, you can bring blessing and you can bring curse. Look with James with me, chapter 3, verse 7. And he talks about how we can tame every kind of beast and bird, reptile, creature of the sea. No man can tame the tongue. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. And here's the thing, and here's what James is saying. We curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And so James is saying something, don't miss this, very, very powerful. He is saying when you curse a man made in the likeness of God, it's like cursing God. Because when you've been made in the image of God and you curse that thing that's been made in the image of God, you're cursing God. How dare we speak in that way to each other? That's what James is saying. Cursing, bad language, name-calling. Now, let me be clear. It's all bad and wrong and not okay. It is not all right to lose it and call your spouse all kinds of names and cuss them out. How many times have I heard someone say, yeah, I dropped the F-bomb 4 times, but you know what? They deserved it. And I'm going, no, they didn't. That was wrong. But somehow it's okay when I'm angry. Somehow it's okay when, boy, I'm just emotional. Here's what James is saying, and I agree with him. It's not okay. And James is saying, you can't control this. Oh, now some of you are smiling. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, sure, Pastor. No, you can. By the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are without excuse. Because you can't change that. You can't control it. You won't do it by yourself. But you bring the Holy Spirit of God in as a believer in Jesus. And then you have the support of others around you. Here's what I know. You can do it. Doesn't mean, yes, you can get angry. And yes, we are all going to occasionally say and do the wrong thing. Aren't you thankful there's forgiveness and there is grace and there is His mercy renewed every morning? You can say amen to that. But that isn't an excuse for you to get away with it. It should be like an upside down funnel, right side up funnel, where it starts big and gets small. So it happens fewer and fewer times. Because if you're a believer, I'm going to say something strong here. If you're a believer and you love Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will be reduced. James is giving us clear instruction. Proverbs gives us clear instruction. It is throughout the Word of God over and over and over again. It tells us in Proverbs 13:3, He who guards his lips guards his life. In Psalm 140, verse 3, they make their tongues as sharp as a serpent. The poison of vipers is on their lips. See, Proverbs tells us that it is poisonous. And he tells us in Proverbs, listen, there's life and death in our words. Give me the next slide. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. A word spoken well is like an amazing piece of fruit. Apples are back in season. Can you say amen to that? I love apples. I love the change. The other day, I love Fuji organic apples. The other day I was cutting one right here. I sliced it right there, and the juice just started dripping down onto my pants, right on my leg. All of a sudden I got all this apple juice, and I thought, oh, that is so amazing. Because I had a bite of that apple, and it was crunchy and juicy and sweet. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is great. And that is a word spoken well. It's great. And that's what Proverbs tells us, is that we can say things that bring such life. Let me make it clear. God condemns, again, God condemns profane words. It is wrong to cuss. You are without excuse. If you choose to do that, I want you to understand, you are choosing to do that. Name calling, bad language, that is not how you deal with life. Well, what am I supposed to do? Come on, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm hurt. What am I supposed to do? Okay, let me make this clear. Go to Jesus. You mean I'm supposed to go to Jesus before I talk to the person who really hurt me? Yes, exactly. Think what would happen if you went and talked to Jesus first. Before you unloaded on your wife, your children, whoever it is that you think that you did you wrong. Look what it says. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Kind words are delicious. I can summarize this whole message in two words. You ready? Be kind. Say that with me. Be kind. One more time. Be kind. Try this. Go home and work on this for 24 hours. Be kind. That's all you got to do. That's your homework assignment. Go home and be kind for 24 hours. Do nothing else but be kind. And then report back to me how it went. I can tell you it will be life-changing. And in some of your homes, it will be weird. Working on being kind. Because that's what the Word of God says. It creates a sweetness in your home. It's really a choice for you to decide whether God's going to direct your life or not. The psalmist says the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I say we erase that. The every detail part. Because what does that mean? Every detail. Nothing's hidden from God, church. There, again, we don't have a way to get around this because he says the Lord directs the step of the godly, those are believers. He delights in every detail of their lives. He sees everything, knows everything. He is aware of all these kinds of things around us. So what an amazing thing. James is saying, please think before you speak. Be careful before you realize the average person speaks 25,000 words a day. The average person. That's 50 pages of print material. 50 pages. My goodness. You realize that that's like a novel about every week? You're writing a novel every week. Peter tells us, if you want a happy life, how many want a happy life and good days? then keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Can you say amen to that? A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of the fool belches out foolishness. I love this. The word is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I have an image of a church that gets this, and that we become a place that is encouraging and kind and gentle and confrontive and able to speak truth and able to be accountable, all in a way that's done biblically. God believes we can do that. That's why he wrote this stuff out. He didn't write it to dangle a carrot in front of us or somehow frustrate us and think, ha ha, you see, you can never do that. That's not what the Word of God is doing here. The Word of God is saying, you can do this. And we say, but this is impossible, God. I can't do it. And God says, well, that's kind of the point, but you can do it with me. You can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when you say to God, okay, I do want to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit, God says, I got you.